Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. There's only 176 verses, so we won't be here too long reading. Actually, we're just going to look at one verse, verse 120. Psalm 119, verse 120. Now, you know, when you read the Psalms, you're dealing with people who honestly love the Lord, and the psalmist of Psalm 119 certainly loves the Lord and loves His words. And in the midst of all that, you read this verse here, Psalm 119, verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I am afraid of Thy judgments. Now you think about the psalmist and his love for the Lord, his love for the words, love for the statutes, the precepts. Does it not come as a little bit of surprise to you that he says in verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I am afraid of Thy judgments? It seems somewhat shocking that somebody that has that kind of love would have that kind of fear of the same person. Years ago, I was talking, many years ago, to a neighbor of mine, and I asked him about the fear of God. He said, of course I don't fear God. Why would I? I love Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill me with Your Holy Spirit. We have junior church on, and we have the toddlers in their little group and the nursery. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit is evident in everything we do. Lord, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly to fill us, me, so that I can preach, these so that they can hear and understand and receive. Lord, the concept that we're going to discuss today of the fear of God, the doctrine of the fear of God, is hard for our minds to contemplate. And so we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make it plain and make it simple, make it useful and usable, profound in our lives, as only You can do. For we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when we think about the fear of God, we often minimize it to some degree. And the reason we do is we're saved. Perfect love casteth out fear. We're not afraid of being judged for our sins. We're not afraid, those of us who are saved, about going to hell. Somebody can come in here and preach the toughest message that's ever been preached on hell. And it might stir you, but it wouldn't cause you to be afraid that you're going there when you're saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're already off the hook. But you know something? Even though we're saved, the Bible tells us, like this guy, my flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I'm afraid of Thy judgments. That there's something to fear. I realize that the judge of all mankind, for those of us who are saved, is our Father. And we address Him in prayer regularly as Father. We know, I know, you know, He loves us. He's not here to harm us or to hurt us. And what's happened to us is that we get used to His long-suffering. We get used to His forbearing. We get used to His mercy and assume that God's not going to do anything to us when we do something wrong. We've even tested Him and done something wrong, maybe even repeatedly, and we found that lightning didn't strike from heaven and God didn't kill us and we didn't get a plague that can never be healed. But I want to tell you something. The fear of God is not supposed to be like that. It is supposed to be as strong as our love for Him. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what he said. My flesh trembleth for fear of Thee. And you know something? That is a picture that is hard to envision. That's a picture that's hard to grasp. So let me see if I can give you a picture that will help you with this. And the interesting thing is, I went back and I looked at prior sermons and prior lessons, and I'm surprised how many times I've taught on the fear of the Lord. I'm surprised how many times I've preached on the fear of God. You know, compared to all the other doctrines to talk about. And I tell you, one of the reasons is each time that I preach something or teach something on the fear of God, I have learned something more about it that I didn't know before when I taught it the last time. And recently I was thinking about the fear of God, and I was thinking about this verse of Scripture, and how do you put it together? And yet another thought, another picture came to mind that probably has given me more perspective on the fear of God than I've ever had before. It's a clearer picture. Now, let me give you a personal illustration here. And you already know it, some of you do, and I'm not going to drag it out, but I'll tell enough about it for those of you who don't know it so you'll put it in perspective. I had to appear in court several years ago for placing placards in public without a permit. Basically what happened is the teens had a garage sale at our house and they put up four signs, and I got a citation when I got home from our trip to Colorado for doing this. So I called to find out what my fine was and to protest. And they said, no, you have to go to court for this. This all happened in late May, and my court date is not until October. And so the more we're coming to this, you know, anyway, I'm not happy about it. So that day comes, I go to court. There are 10 of us in there that have violated this law. And it is a law. It's an ordinance here in the city. And so the judge says to all 10 of us, let me say this once to all of you. The court costs for your infraction, for your citation, is $99, and the fine is $500. I think, man, you got to sell a lot of stuff at that garage sale to pay for this. Wow. But he said, as each one of us came and our turn was called, I'm W, so I'm the last guy. I hear this 9 times, and then I get to go. He said, okay, so you're how do you plead? Guilty, not guilty, or nolo contendere? And he explains what all that means. And he says, or you can go to the DA and you can see what kind of deal you can work out. Well, she's conveniently there. I'm just thinking, you know, pay and go. So I sit down and she goes, you've never been here before. I said, no, that's right. She said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You could plead guilty and it'll be $599, or we'll reduce the fine to $200, give you probation for 90 days under one condition: you do not break one law, get one ticket in the city, in the county, in the state, in the nation, or anywhere in the world that we find out about. And I said, well, I don't like it, but I'll take the deal. Now, let me tell you, you see how I'm dressed today? This is how I dressed when I went to court. I dressed up. I was very respectful, Your Honor. I had to go study. What do you say? How do you call the judge? Your Honor. You know, I was very respectful to the DA, you know, I tell you, when I went in there, because it was court, I was scared. All right, so now I find out what the deal is, and now I'm mad. But, you know, 299 is better than 599, so let's do the deal. I got home, told Ann what the deal was, and she was mad. Anyway, so I don't drag this out too long. You know what happened. I drove too fast all the time, everywhere. And so I said, well, now I have to. So I get out on Everhart, and the speed limit's 35. I put my vehicle on cruise control, and everybody in town is vroom, 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 coming right up on me, and what I used to do to them. And then I get up on SPID. I have no clue what the speed limit is, never concerned myself. I had always driven 75 there because it's an interstate. Looked like one to me. I'm looking around hunting for the speed limit sign. 60? Well, no wonder everybody's been driving so slow. This is crazy. So I put it on 60, you know, and they're vroom, 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 coming up behind me and honking. And I mean, and that's what I used to do. And I get to work 1 minute later than I used to get to work, but I notice something immediately. My heart is not racing. I'm not stressed. And I get in back in the vehicle, and you know, it's 55 here, and it's 55 from here to Rand Morgan, down to 44. It's 45 all the way to 44, and 55 on the feeder, and 70 until you get to the bridge over the airport, and 65 on the other side all the way to, anyway, until you get to Greenwood. Then it's 60 by Fuddruckers, and then you come back up 65, and it's 65, and then it becomes 55, and then it's 35 on Yorktown. I mean, I got it memorized. Okay. What is this all about? It's called the fear of judgment. That's what it's about. It's called the fear of judgment. And you know something? That judge was not... Listen, I couldn't bribe him. There were no technicalities. His word was final. And he said, 90 days... $299, and listen, nothing on your record. Otherwise, you get this and $600. I left that courtroom fully persuaded to toe the line. I was not going to get a ticket anywhere in the world, not even on the moon, in that 90-day period. I made sure to know the law, where I hadn't known it before. I observed the law. I routinely followed the law. I was getting some personal benefits. My stress level, it was the final component. My heart's in good shape today, thank God. And that judge and that DA and that citation. But also you enforce the law upon others. So I ride with Ann. I said, you know what the speed limit is here? She looked at me and smiled. She said, do I care? Now, there's no fear and trembling there. We're driving from here to San Antonio, and she's making time, baby. And there's highway patrolman. She just smiles. If I did that, they would have me in cuffs. It's just different. So not only do you, listen, not only do you start toeing the line, but you start telling everybody else, hey, you know that's wrong. Because you're living by the law now, buddy. What happens is this. You fear to do anything contrary to the law because you know you're going to get caught. And you don't think, when you're in the fear of God, that you're going to get off like many of us think just because the judge is our father. You're constantly aware that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. You see, our God is a righteous judge. He's not elected. He doesn't take bribes. There are no technicalities. There's no jury. His word is final. What he says, that's it. There are no mistrials. There are no second chances. He scatters away all evil with his eyes. You say, well, how does that picture help me? I'll show you. When you are like me, living in the fear of judgment and towing the line, you fear, but you don't fear. You fear because you know what would happen to face the judge, but you don't fear because you're living your life so you don't have to face the judge. And listen, the benefits of this kind of fear are these. Though you fear, number one, listen, there is confidence. It's confidence. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 26. There's confidence. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 26. All right, the Bible says, your God has eyes, He can see everything you do, the good and the bad. And the Bible says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Here's how that works. You're not afraid of getting caught when you live in the fear of God, because you know that you are living within the judge's law and order. When you read this book in the fear of God and you do what it says, you're not worried about a sledgehammer hitting you in the head for doing something wrong, because you're not doing something wrong. You're doing something right. That's the fear of God produces in you strong confidence, because you know what the rules are and you know how to keep them. Let's return to the personal example. Now, I'm driving through speed traps. I know where they are. But you know one thing I never do now that I always used to do in the past? I never tap my brakes. Why? There's no need to tap the brakes when you're driving within the speed limit. You see, there's no fear of the consequence of breaking that law, because the fear of judgment is keeping you within that law. And when the fear of God, the fear of judgment, that trembling, keeps you within the Word of God, you don't worry about how things are going to turn out. You don't worry about being punished for something that you're doing, because you're doing, as best as you know, what God has asked you to do. Listen, the same God that condemns evil is also the same God that protects good. That's what you see in the Bible. And when you're living under His rule, you can look to God to protect you as well. Now watch how this works. Let's say that you're young. And let's say that you have been reading the Bible. And the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Now you're a young man, and some of your friends come to you at the school and they say, hey, we're going to go over to Joey's house, John's house, Pete's house, whatever, and there's going to be a party tonight. We want you to come. And you're like, cool, I don't usually get invited to these things. Ask mom and dad, and they say, yeah, sure. And you go over there and they break out the booze. And they say, hey, come on, man, take one of these. He said, well, I'm not going to take one of those. Why not? Well, you don't want to tell them you're a Jesus freak or anything. But you just said, no, I don't drink. You know, at that point, you got several options. You can give in and get over it, which a lot of people have done. You can just stay there and not drink anymore. You can say, you know, this is really not the kind of party that I go to. See you guys later. I'm gone. Bye. All right, now listen. When you are walking in that situation under the fear of God, with fear and trembling, you make a decision according to what He said. You're not really worried about, well, I don't know if my mother and father are going to catch me. See, that's fear of consequences. You're not going through that. You're going through a being who has already instructed you, and He has eyes that see the good and the evil, and you say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Now, listen, they start ridiculing you. They start calling you names. They start making fun of you. And listen, you look and say, I don't fear you. I fear God. And there's strong confidence in that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Along that line, I know what peer pressure is and have given in to peer pressure in my day. And I'm telling you, when you learn the fear of God and you've got strong confidence, peer pressure goes out the window, because you don't care. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5 and then look at verse 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. You got a good family, a good church, good friends in the church, people that love you and pray for you, and one Friday night you can put a lot of that on the line. And you say, you know what, I kind of like the way my life is going right now. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You need supernatural strength to help you, because you've never experienced that much peer pressure before. And you're trying to stand strong. Watch it. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. And they start giving you some of that lip, and you just smile and say, hey guys, you're not going to convince me to change. I know the judge, and I know the rule, And I'm going to live by that rule. You walk out of there and you have more confidence, more spiritual strength, more contentment in God than by anything you could do to give in to that pressure. Now, I just use drinking as an example, but we can go to fornication, and we can go to pornography, and we can go to cussing, and we can go to dirty jokes, and we can go to stealing and all kinds of things. When you've been before the judge, when you know the judge, you're like, we're going on cruise control. We're staying within the bounds. I know the judge, and I'm not facing that. And there's strong confidence. I'll tell you something else, the benefits of this kind of fear. You see, it's the strangest thing. You're trembling because you know the judge, but you're confident because you're doing what the judge said, what he expects. But that's not all. With this kind of fear, you also have wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. You have wisdom. You know this verse, probably have it memorized. But in case you don't, you now know where it is. And in case you do, repetition is a good teacher. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is wisdom? One man told me wisdom is just knowing what to be afraid of. When you get a good glimpse of God, not so much as your Savior, He is. When you get a good glimpse of God as your judge, I mean a good glimpse. He doesn't take lip off of anybody, that judge. It's very healthy for you. He said wisdom is just knowing what to be afraid of. When you're afraid of Him, you don't fear anything else or anybody else. Just Him. And there's wisdom in that. You say, why? Because you end up making better choices. Listen, when you fear God, you're not as hasty to make a decision because you know that every decision has consequences. And some things are blessed and some things aren't blessed. And you say, I want to know where God is on this decision before I make it because I like the blessings of God a whole lot better than I like His wrath. And so you're not as hasty in making your decisions. There's wisdom in that kind of fear because you're not as emotional when you make those decisions. What am I saying? How many of you have made decisions when you were emotional, let's say mad, and then lived to regret the decision you made? Nobody's raising their hand because we could all raise our hand. You never make good decisions when you're mad. Hey, how about when you're emotionally, how about when you're real lonely or you're real hurt or you're real happy? You don't make good decisions when the decisions are simply based on your emotions. What you want to do is get to a place where emotions are neutral, and then you know what you can do then? You can make a rational decision. And the fear, that fear, you're like, oh, son, I'm just going to cool off here a minute before I say what I'm going to say, because I know my judge. You see, you make decisions that are not as selfish, because He says, esteem other better than thyself. Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, the Bible says. I'm a little bit more concerned about how this decision is going to affect you. Listen, I'm a pastor of a church. Can you imagine what it would be like to not have this fear of God and try to pastor? And not be concerned what God thinks about the direction the church is going, and not be concerned about your welfare in making that decision? Listen, with that kind of wisdom that results from that kind of fear, your choices are more informed through Scripture. You have a tendency to go in here and see if God has anything to say about it. Through prayer, to see if God will give you guidance. Through counsel, people that have already been through these things that are godly people, to find out whether you're moving in the right direction. Can you see how important this is when you're, it's important for all of us, but when you're young, when you get married, you're going to want God to bless everything that's going on in your marriage. And what if you didn't consider God in that decision until the trouble started 6 days into your marriage? You go back and say, man, I sure wish that I had been better informed, received better counsel, spent more time in prayer, not been so hasty, not been so emotional. So you see, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Listen, man, when you go before God and you get God's blessing on the relationship that you're fixing to build with another person, you just close the book, walk in there and say, I have confidence, we have made a wise decision, and then you open the book and live by what He says, and you don't look back and say, I think we made a mistake. See how that fear is so good? It's so beneficial. Your decisions are more spiritual because why? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And you say, I have some strong desires here, Lord, but I got to judge. And what I want is Your wisdom. Don't you know that God sitting up there in His position of judgment says, well, if you want the thing to score out right before me, this is what I would do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraided not. And it shall be given him, and he'll tell you what to do. You follow in that, and you can just say, whoa, I know God's going to bless this. And listen, the marriage or the business or the school or whatever, you're going to experience something hard, but you don't have to look back and say, I'm experiencing something hard because I made a mistake. I made a wise decision. I'm walking in the fear of God. I have confidence. I know this thing is going to work out. How many people have come and said, I don't know why this is happening to me. I'm wondering what I've done wrong in my life. You don't ask questions like that when you walk in the fear of God. You get that settled before you ever decide. That fear, I'm telling you, that fear that the psalmist is talking about there is great because though there's fear, there's confidence, there's wisdom, and I'll tell you something else. There's holiness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. There's holiness that comes when you remember that scene in the courtroom. You remember the eyes of that judge. When you remember the conditions of your probation, you're like, I am not going to mess up here and have to suffer the consequences of a greater crime. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, and they have to do with separation in chapter 6, these promises concerning separation and how God will receive you as sons and daughters, dearly beloved. Let us, watch it, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Here it is, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you struggle with sin in your life? Yes. Do I struggle with sin in my life? Yes. Same sins? Probably not. But that's the nature of living in flesh. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. When I would do good, evil is present with me, okay? So we have that battle, and we'll have it till Jesus comes. But you know something I've noticed about saved people? If they're at all conscious of their salvation, if they're at all conscious of the Lord in their lives, if they're at all conscious even a little bit of trying to please God, they get disappointed when they sin. You get disappointed when you sin. I've talked to people before and they say, you know, I'm not real sure of my salvation or, you know, it's not really doing well. And I'll say, okay, well, tell me how it was in the past. And they'll say, I used to do this. How is it now? Well, I still do that sometimes. I said, well, how do you feel about it now? I said, I don't like it at all. I said, well, back then you used to think it was fun. Tells me somebody has entered the picture that wasn't there before. Believe God's in this now. And now at least it disappoints you, it frustrates you, or upsets you. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. So, but let me tell you something. When you want to grow beyond that and you remember the look of your judge and the feeling of having to present yourself at His mercy, and you're like, I want to toe this line, you know what happens? Because you walk in confidence and because you're in the Word of God, because you walk in wisdom because you're in the Word of God, your life begins to clean up. You're making better choices. Your life is much cleaner because, listen, you're not doing the bad things that you used to do. Now, some of us here have lived long enough and got turned around late enough in life that we look back pretty often when something jogs our mind and regret something we did in the past. Let me tell you something. Next time that happens, this afternoon or right now, tomorrow, next time that happens, listen, just tell yourself this. That happened, that's done, and I'm not doing that anymore. And keep on trucking. Don't live in the past with the regrets. Just, okay, but it's not happening now. And the reason it's not happening now is that the work of this fear is producing a holiness in your life that is changing constantly who you are. And that's a benefit of that type of the fear of God that causes you to tremble. Now listen. Here's the beautiful thing. It's not only that you toy with the idea, wow, I sure wish that I could go back there and do those sins like I used to do, but I can't now because I'm saved. You know what happens? That holiness comes in you from God, and you hate the things you used to do. You hate what it was doing to you. Before we get to the next point, turn to Proverbs chapter 8. I'll show you. When you get that kind of fear of God, the right kind of fear of God, it's not where this fear of God, you're not always looking over your shoulder and waiting for the bolt of lightning to hit you because you're always living in disobedience to God. No, this is where the fear of God has brought you into the obedience of God, and now you're finding a place of refuge and confidence and wisdom and holiness. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And you look back on that stuff that plagued you before, you say, you know something, I still feel the draw and temptation, but whereas before I loved it, today I hate it, cannot stand the thought of me being involved in anything like that. That's holiness. And it comes from the right fear of God. That judge that you don't want to have to face. I'll show you something else. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. As much as this kind of fear causes you to hate those things of the past, this kind of fear also brings something else that you can't seem to get any other way. And I'll tell you, Mick Jagger didn't have it either. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that, Proverbs 19, 23, and he that hath it shall abide, what's that next word? Satisfied. Satisfied. You know, that's something I never had. I got it now. Mick Jagger never had it. Ain't got no satisfaction. Well, I'll tell you where you get it from. Huh? Fear of God. The fear of God. Listen. When you know that you have kept the judge's orders, and you have lived within his demands, there is a great sense of satisfaction and contentment because you are free. You're free. You sleep well at night. When you were sinning and rebellious, there was always a sense of foreboding. You knew that you were doing something wrong. You had an awareness that you could get caught and be punished. You only chose to do right because you didn't want to get caught and suffer the punishment. And you'd say, well, the likelihood of me getting caught if I do that now is pretty high, so I think I'll back off. But the whole time your mind and heart are just waiting for an opportunity to commit that sin. You were free from righteousness because you were the servant of sin. You could have not stood still in a service like this where somebody preaching on the fear of God and against sin and had any desire to come back for one more service. This is not the kind of thing you wanted to listen to. Not back in those days, because you were free from righteousness. You didn't want any God telling you, you're not supposed to do that. You didn't want any boundaries on what was right and anything defining what was wrong. But you knew you were wrong. You know what? Today you're the servant of righteousness. And you're free from sin. And you know it. You're not so worried about the consequences now. Listen. You just want to please the judge. You know what I've learned in my life, my short life? You know what I've learned? Remember that saying that says, when mama ain't happy, nobody happy? Those of you who are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you who aren't, you will learn on your honeymoon. When mama ain't happy, nobody happy. The men would, they're all amening in their heart. Nobody's, they're not about to be the only guy, you know. Amen. You heard that, right? Let me tell you, let me add something to it. Listen very carefully. I know this. When the judge is happy, I'm happy. Amen. That's a weird thing. How is that? Because he puts a divine satisfaction inside of you. You cannot get anywhere else in this world. I'm sure that Mick Jagger tried it all. I don't say that in a condemning way. I'm sure that any sin that was available with the money they had and the places they traveled, he tried or could have tried. And he said, I ain't got no satisfaction. That's what he said. He, in the Bible, says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. I am a living testimony and witness to the truth of that statement. When my judge is happy, I'm happy. I sleep well at night. I digest my food properly. I'm not stressed. I'm feeling good. I can't wait to see him. I love him. And I'm not trying to convey to you that I am perfect. Don't get me wrong. You know that. We all deal with the problems of life. What I'm trying to tell you is satisfaction comes from that kind of fear. Do you know the entire 90 days that I was on probation? Do you know something? I was satisfied. I really was. I was satisfied in a way that I never had been for I can just say, for a couple of reasons. One, I knew I was keeping the law. I knew it. So I didn't worry about having to be on the lookout for the consequences of breaking the law. You know, I knew that. And that's satisfying. The other thing is, my temperament changed. I didn't get home mad because of something that happened in traffic and try to blame it on Ann. I didn't get to work stressed out and, you know, have to go through the ritual of whatever you do, praying and confessing and all that, to try to get over it. Plus, I was a lot safer. It's not wise to drive behind a grandmother that far from her bumper when she's going 60 and you want to go 75. As a matter of fact, bad things come to your mind. You want to call her names. You don't even know who she is. And if he's young and should know better, you really get mad. What are you doing in my lane? You don't belong here. And y'all have heard all those stories, so I don't want to tell you. But you know something? You get, and then you're mad at yourself because you thought like that and talked like that, and those things came through your mind. You know something? When you drive like, hey, Grandma, good to see you again. Winded down and like that, you know, and let everybody else play that game. There's nothing, you're not mad about anything. You didn't say anything you wish you hadn't said, didn't think anything you shouldn't have thought, you know. Satisfied, baby. This is the look of satisfaction right here. 35. Listen, when the judge is happy, his children are happy. He puts a divine satisfaction for righteousness in you. Okay, I've got to give you one. I got to give you another one. Psalm 103, verse 17. Because I know this has to be running through your mind. Just bear with me. I only have five more on the list. Psalm 103, verse 17. See, Bobby, they need the number more than once. Even when they're paying attention to you. Psalm 103, verse 17. Listen. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That's a long time, folks. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Wow. I would be remiss, listen, I would be remiss if we didn't add this piece, and then we'll bring this thing to a conclusion. Because I know you're thinking, well, look, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm not going to face any of this before the judge. Listen, the judge didn't change. He's still the same judge. And the peace that you and I get from our judge, because we have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is this peace right here. Mercy. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Let me ask you something. You know, we think, oh, we're scot-free. We're saved. All right, tell me about Ananias and Sapphira. How scot-free were they? They were saved. And they lied about the offering. God dropped them like a deer shot in the brain. It's deer season. Plop! In case you don't know what that looks like, it just... Plop. I mean, He dropped them dead. And you know what happened to that congregation? Fear came over that congregation. That was the result God was looking for. You see, there are people who have... There was a young man, he was saved, and he was committing fornication with his father's wife. And Paul said, turn him over to Satan. Bad things can happen to God's children. You have a judge, you see. Now listen, very carefully. When you and I fear with this kind of fear and love with the kind of love that God's given us, so that it keeps us in a place of confidence and wisdom and holiness and satisfaction, you're also in a place of mercy. You know why? Because your judge knows that you want to do the right thing. And when you don't, because we don't always do the right thing, we're still sinners, He says, mercy, 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 from everlasting to everlasting. You don't want to, listen, you don't want to be beside a wrecked car or in a hospital room or over a child struggling for life or in a financial calamity and be asking yourself this question, what did I do wrong? Or saying, I should have never done this. I've been there with people who have been in emergency situations with themselves or family members. And they have said to me, I knew that I should have stopped. Fill in the blank. They associated the calamity they were in with trouble they had been causing. And they were not looking for the mercy of God. They were punishing themselves under His judgment. If you live in the fear of God and that type of thing happens to you, you won't say, I wonder what bad thing I was doing. There, you won't associate it with that. You'll just turn to your loving Father who happens to be the judge and you can say, mercy. Come boldly under the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You don't go reviewing your life for all the trouble that you may have caused that brought this consequence on you. You just say, dear God, have mercy. And He has mercy because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how that goes? You don't want to be in that situation where something as bad is going on and be reviewing your life for sins that would have brought this upon you. You want to be in a relationship with that judge where all you're looking for is mercy and you're getting it. You're getting it. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep a short account. You won't have to worry about that. Does trouble happen to Christians? Often. Do we suffer? Yes. But listen, develop a healthy relationship with the judge in the fear of God. And your first response will be mercy. Now, how are we going to wrap this up? Very simply, I need to show you one more verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. This particular verse of Scripture is for anyone here today that does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Those things that I have preached to you today are true, but they're not effective in your life because you've never been under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never had His mercy. You are not protected in the fear of God. But listen, if you fear that judge and His righteous judgment, then Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says this. Listen carefully. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You know how long I'm going to live? I'm going to live forever. I'm living forever right now. People say, how you doing? Oh, I'm living the life. You know what I say? I'm living the everlasting life. Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We're experiencing eternal life as I'm talking to you right now. And anybody in here without the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you clearly, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, your days will not be prolonged. Look at the rest of the verse. The years of the wicked shall be shortened. You say, God looks at me as wicked? Yeah. You hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn down the offer of His Son, what do you want to call it if you don't call it wicked? What is that? The greatest gift that's ever been known to man, the greatest gift that's ever been received by a man, you should say, I can't believe God would have that kind of mercy on me. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You want to live forever? Fear God and trust Jesus. That's how easy it is. And then live in that healthy fear of God that allows you to tremble and yet not tremble because you're living in the fear. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to see this picture. I pray that it's been the same help to the folks that are gathered here today as it has been to me. It helps me so much, Father, to see this picture in this light and know that we can turn to you for mercy as we have had to do so many times before. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray, Father, for any person here today that's been living in that trap of the merry-go-round of guilt and all those other things. Lord, I pray they can shake that shambles today. They know the way from the Scripture now to live in confidence, in mercy, satisfaction, holiness. So good, so good, so good. And wisdom, so good. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you, please allow the fear of God to be known to these that are gathered here today to be properly responsive to what we're doing. God, please allow that to happen. You're here today, you don't have Jesus Christ, and you know it. Today, if you would fear God, you would prolong your days in Jesus Christ, everlasting life, by receiving Him as your Savior. You do that. Is there anybody here today, right now, raise your hand. Preacher, I need Jesus. Slip it up, slip it right back down. I'm looking, Randy Knuppel's looking, everybody else is praying. But this is serious business. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him. And you can know Him right now. You can receive Him. Randy, our associate pastor, and his wife will show you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in his office. And I mean, you'll be so glad you made that decision. All right, I'll ask you one more time, then we're going to close. Anybody here today, shoot your hand up right now and say, Preacher, I need Jesus. I need Him. I need Him right now. Okay, Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, move with your power, the power of your word in our lives, and help us. We appreciate so much, Father. You're the only one we know who can put this kind of fear in us and draw us closer to you. We run from everything else we're afraid of. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.